this planning commission meeting for Wednesday, October 19th, 2011. We will establish a quorum, and let's sound off, starting from my immediate left.
Renee Sperno.
John Thomas, planning commission president.
Douglas Ward.
We do have a quorum. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Doug, will you please lead us in that?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you.
We do have an added agenda item. And what was that again, so we can write it down?
The city manager was going to discuss some code enforcement correspondence that came from Deschutes County.
Yeah, I was going to give you a copy of the letter that somebody made on the Coleman Cable subdivision on a property that's...
Code enforcement discussion on... Put that down.
I'm going to go find it right now, so while you're doing other things.
Put that down and other matters. We number 11, we will speak about code enforcement issues.
And it's also the sign.
We also have Andy Ferguson, the event coordinator for the Lapine Senior Center, who wants to discuss a new signage for the Senior Center.
Okay, Andy Ferguson. Senior Center. Discussion on sign. Signage. Okay. Thank you. Any other added agenda items? With nothing further, we will move to agenda item number 5, which is public comments for items not on the agenda. I like to put that on the end. I should have put that at the end of the agenda, because as we discussed before, we go through the complete agenda. We give people a lot of things to think about during the meeting. Then they want to comment, and the public comment is up on 5, which is the beginning of the meeting, and they don't have anything to think about that they want to discuss.
We'll just ask for it now and then move it again down to another number.
I think I will. Do we have any public comments at this time? No. Okay. We might bring that up again, so just hang in there with us. Number 6, approval of Planning Commission meeting minutes, August 15th. We have a brief minute here to read through those real quick. So, I would entertain a motion that we approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes for August 15th, 2011.
I would so approve. So.
So moved.
So moved. So do something.
Been moved. And seconded.
Second.
Possibly.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Been moved and seconded, and if there are no discussions, we will approve the minutes for August 15th. And they are so moved. We will move to item number 7, interviews for planning commissioners.
What happened?
We were supposed to have Norman McClung, Jack Stilwell, and Justin Vettinen. Which one of you folks would like to start out first? Just jump right on in there.
I'm Norman.
Norman?
Right.
Norman McClung. Go ahead. We would like to interview you. You want us to start?
You want us to yeah, you can start.
All right. First, I might just ask, why would you want to be on a planning commission?
Well, we moved this down 7 years ago, and we've seen it kind of struggle, but now it's a city, and I'd like to see it prosper, and anything I can do to help, to volunteer to help it prosper, I would like to do so. I see a need for, you know, I mean, people have stepped up and done a good job so far, and but there's a lot to do in a city. I got involved in one before, and I know there's a never-ending task of stuff to do. So if I can help in any way, help the community and prosper, I'd be glad to.
Great. What town did you come from before?
I lived in out of Bodega Bay, California, and Las Vegas.
Uh-huh. Were you in Las Vegas during the big boom time?
Sort of.
Yeah.
We got out just in time.
That's good.
They got too big of a city. It was fun. It was a nice town to live in. Lots to do there if you don't gamble. And but it just got too big.
No, it was a good time to be out of there. I guess it's one of the lowest numbers now that ever has been. Las Vegas is suffering tremendously.
Oh, yeah. You look down streets and there's whole blocks deserted.
Wow.
Just deserted. And it's sad. I mean, nice homes too.
Yeah. Wow.
Whether they'll come back, who knows?
Mm.
That's a tough situation down there.
Could be years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, does anyone else have any questions for Norman? You live within the city or outside the city?
I live in White Trail Ridge.
Okay.
Yeah, Norman, I noticed that you've been a Wagon Trail Ranch board member on the road committee, the Pine Community Kitchen.
Yes.
Do you realize what the Planning Commission is going to be doing? Right now, we're not doing very much. We're in an intern period between passing all the ordinances and the time when everything goes into effect. But after July 1st of next year, we'll have a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that you're willing and able to spend some time doing these things.
Yes, that is no problem.
Trying to make Lapine what all of the residents and all of the business and all of the community wants it to be.
Okay.
And not something that somebody else wants it to be.
Yes, I'm willing to put up the time to do that.
All right, thank you very much.
Any questions, Renee?
I wish I had one.
That's fine.
It's very hard.
Maybe a question that was answered that you had rather than one. Like, what is a planning commission?
I'm new to the planning commission. And I see that you've had more experience than I have. Jack Stillwell?
Justin V10.
Oh, I've got the wrong paperwork. Okay. I'm good. See, that's what I mean. Sorry. This is a hard job. It's very hard. I'm still studying, and it's really hard.
Justin, where do you live?
I live in Huntington Meadows, off of Cassidy Drive.
This planning commission consists of three city dwellers and two can reside outside the city limits of Lapine. I myself live off of Day Road. I'm one of two that lives outside of the city.
Excuse me, John. I just wanted to let you know that we're looking for an outside person as well as an inside person when Linda stops in December.
Right. Linda Magger, which is currently on the commission, has voiced an opinion to leave the Planning Commission when her term is up in December. And so, therefore, that would be the position that would be inside the city limits. And then that would be in December. And then the position is open at the present time for someone who may live at large in the Lapine area. I know Jack Stilwell. Patty, did you hear?
I left a message on his phone.
Okay. Any questions for Justin? Mr. Ward?
I have one. So I'm not confused. You list your address on your application here as P.O. Box 2015 in Bent. Yet you say you're a resident within the city. So what is your address? What is your primary residence?
Physical address.
It's 16464 Cassidy Drive. That's where I live. I get my mail in Sun River. I commute to Bend every day for work, and I go to Sun River to get my mail maybe once a month, twice a month.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Justin, what would be some reasons why you'd want to be on a planning commission?
Well, I want to get involved with the community, and I think a good start would be to help our neighborhood out over here in Huntington Meadows. There's some things that need to be dealt with, some problems, and I would like to get involved and see if I can help be a part of the solution.
What's some of the problems in Huntington Meadows? Is it crime? Or is it just livability? What kind of issues?
It's just there's maybe some crime, maybe some livability, but I think there's a cultural battle going on right now over there with new people moving in and the current residents, and there's a lot of renters there. And I just think that there's also a lot of cars parked on the roads, some recreational vehicles, you know, and it's right now it could be a better place to live, and I think cleaning some of those things up would help.
Do you think that the residents of Huntington Meadows, do you think they're aware that they live inside, you know, city limits, that they have codes and
regulations
on how they...
I think the owners are, but I don't think the renters are. I don't think the landlords give the renters copies of the restrictions and covenants and ordinances in the city of Lapine. I don't think it's a huge problem, but I think it needs to be addressed. And I think that's part of it, not following the rules.
Yeah, we've said that for 4 years now, 5 years now, that there's a certain learning curve needs to be established when a city or when a town is unincorporated, which we were prior to 2006, and then... and now in 2011, but you see, I think we've gone beyond the excuse that there's a certain time limit that needs to happen to learn the curve. I think after 5 or 6 years, I think that it's time that people realize that they live in a city.
I think we need a little bit of tougher enforcement of the rules unilaterally across, you know, everybody there, and I think that's going to be a little bit harder than some people think, but most beneficial for the city.
Okay. Mr. Wayne.
Hypothetical question. How do you feel about telling your next door neighbor, who you know, that he can't have 27 wrecked cars piled up in his front yard?
I feel good about
personally,
that.
Personally, could you do that, and how would you feel about doing it?
I can do that. I feel fine with doing that because there are rules and we all have to follow them, and that's what makes a good city and a good community, is everybody following the rules. And I have done that already.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Any other further questions?
No. Okay.
Okay. I encourage both of you, if you'd like to stay throughout the rest of the meeting, if you do have the time, and that way you might get used to staying at meetings once a month, which you'll be required at that time to stay throughout the entire meeting. So we encourage you to stay if you'd like. If you can't, feel free to leave. Agenda number 8, update on Old Deschutes Lodge. Deborah McMahon.
Yes, I spoke directly with John Gilbert, who is the project manager, and he went through his files, as well as Rima Wilson, who was the specific director on the housing project. And they feel they've met all of the conditions of approval. My call to the county hasn't been returned yet, and I didn't call them until yesterday, until I heard from John Gilbert specifically. But when we were talking, we were kind of wondering if some of the landscaping issue isn't part of the right-of-way and not an on-site issue. So, you know, I thought maybe you and I could talk about this and pursue it further after we maybe spend some time on the site and you can show specifically what the concerns are. Yeah.
And look at the actual plot map.
Yeah.
The approved site.
Because they're very confident they met all the requirements. They have to get some of their funding. But they're very willing to deal with the issues if something is identified that they don't know about.
I see. You know, on the website, on the county update that Patty sent out to all of us, it states that the county has approved that site for construction. I was under the impression that the owner, what was his name?
Rob Roy.
When I spoke to Rob Roy, he told me that that they weren't proceeding with phase two because of problems they were having with the state.
And getting grant funds.
That there had to be a job site.
With the financing.
Job site inspection.
It would, you know, more of a financing issue personally between him and his bankers and the state and whatnot, and that the phase two and three were actually approved by the county. So I was under the assumption that the county had already approved the construction.
I can follow up on that, and I do remember.
Well, he isn't financed, so he isn't going to be built.
Right.
So
that's what he told.
There's no point ever in you spending any money.
He told me that he had fallen out with the state, and so therefore.
They only have so many grants to do those. There are tax credits and things, and they went to some other projects, and he'll reapply and
maybe next year, which is whenever. Whatever next year is in the.
I don't mean to get picky, but 3 years ago, Rob Roy came before the city council when I was a councilor and when Mayor Shields was the mayor and promised three things that he did not live up to. He did not fulfill those three things. The landscaping, the asphalt walkway to Bi-Mart, and the park. And that was one of the things that he told the city council that was going to happen, asking for their approval for his permit. Now, maybe he forgot. And well, obviously it wasn't written down because the county didn't know anything about it.
Doug, can you go through that with me again?
The point is, if he's going to make a promise...
He lists those three things.
That they should be fulfilled unless there is a really good reason why they're not.
So path to Bi-Mart and landscaping. What was the other one?
And it was a little park where they could go and have... where the residents could go and have a picnic.
Maybe they
on site.
Maybe that's where their planter boxes are.
No. We're not going to get into that.
I mean,
that's the tomato bin.
And are you talking about poor landscaping where it looks weedy and disheveled?
Well, where did they landscape?
Yeah, it's hard to tell what's native.
They didn't. They planted a little bit of scruffy grass.
So, what we should do probably is just kind of research this. But quite frankly, it might be a moot point to go ahead and complain to Rob Roy about anything right now. Because, see, he doesn't have any financing, and he's not going to build it. And so, he may not have the funds. If his bank account looks like mine, he may not have the funds to finish these three things as promised.
Let me check with the county in case there's still a bond out there.
That's what we need to know.
And he should come to this board and say, "I'm sorry, I couldn't do it, and these are the reasons why."
We would like to just know from the county has that been, had the final approval been on that site, or or not, and that if there is a bond that's still held out there, mm-hmm. that might satisfy us for the time being.
I don't know if I can force him to attend a meeting, but I can.
No, okay. I invited him last month.
And was he willing?
He just simply said that just telegraphed that he's not going this year because the he had fallen out of the state somehow on the grant funding.
And everybody I know who's the developers had a tough time.
Yeah, and that's he just said he's not going to build it, and so that's he didn't want to come.
I've got a note that we were going to write a letter to him and do a site inspection.
And that's part of what we...
And I want to do that with the exact site plan and a couple of you, just so that we know what we're looking at. It'd be good experiencing.
When we have the site plot map from the county, mm-hmm. notify us, and then we'll...
Okay.
We need that first to see what we're looking at.
Gotcha.
And once we have that, we'll go out to the site and we'll take a look. Possibly... If the weather's all right, in the middle of next month or the third weekend, whenever we meet.
Okay.
And we could do it then. Maybe.
Do it while you're already here for this meeting, maybe.
Yeah, we'll do it right mm-hmm. after this meeting or yeah. possibly
before
would be fine. Maybe meet an hour before our 5:30 November date, and get it done. So... Item number 9 would be discussion of establishing a historic district in Lapine and demolishment, however you say it, review and permit process. I'll open this up. We can discuss this if you'd like, but this is a letter that I wrote just as a recommendation to the Lapine City Council. I'm going to read this, and then once I read it, you can beat it up. Discuss this letter. It would say something to this effect: whereas the number of historical buildings are very limited in the city of Lapine, the Planning Commission makes the following recommendation to the Lapine City Council. A process be established whereby prior to demolishing an old structure, i.e. 50 years or older, as an example, the historical subcommittee advisory to the Planning Commission be notified to allow for a 30-day period of review before permission being granted. The Planning Commission will also study areas in the city of Lapine for future recognition of an historical district where it may be possible to relocate historic buildings that are deemed must be removed for various development reasons. Go ahead.
And the timing couldn't be better. The city was able to get a $3,000 grant, and it is from a state agency that specifically is looking to have small communities develop preservation codes. And the city's hired Pat Clewer, who is an expert. She's worked all over the state. When I was in Bend, she was our historic preservation officer. She was the county's historic preservation officer. And if you remember, during the comp plan process, she did our entire inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So she is working on very much the framework that you're talking about. So all good thoughts. Her work is going to come before you fairly soon, and that'd be a great way to compare whether the goals are being met. Some things are allowed by law and some things aren't, and she'll spell that out for you. And she's really a wonderful expert. You can ask her anything about Deschutes County, and she mm-hmm. knows every piece of inch of ground.
Right. Well, very well, wherever she is, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Lapine Planning Commission had established a historical subcommittee, and when I found out about the work that was being done, I was surprised that the historical subcommittee for Lapine you know, wasn't notified. So I think that what I might do is I might call Pat and just discuss with her a little bit so that there isn't any overlapping here. This work that's being done by the city should be reflective of the Planning Commission, and that the Planning Commission has a historical subcommittee, and so under normal procedure, that's where that should be going.
You know, I get so focused on comp plan stuff, mm-hmm. I cannot remember when the subcommittee was developed.
Well, it was back in the minutes or whatever, but it just started out as Gloria Fleming and myself.
I see.
And we established it, and then people left the Planning Commission and this and that, and then now Gloria's left, so I'm sitting here as the only member, I guess, of the historical subcommittee. But we do have at least one of us, and I was going to ask first a discussion on what other possible Planning Commission members would care to be on the historical subcommittee. And a couple, two or three wouldn't hurt.
Well, what's the subcommittee going to do?
Work with people like Pat Cleaver to...
Why can't the whole Planning Commission do it, since you tend to have a hard time getting more than three or four people at a meeting? Your agendas tend to be small.
Okay.
And so you really do, you need to form... You only form a subcommittee if the topic is so broad and you're mm-hmm. swamped and you need to kind
you
of
could.
Micro it down. But
that
really
would be great if everybody were...
And you have such a limited budget. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to
right.
compromise.
Well, $3,000, I mean.
Yeah.
So, when I read this, and then you said that Pat Cleaver was already doing the work.
Well, she's doing an inventory.
The inventory. I saw the inventory on the city's website.
I'm sorry.
That's right. I got on the city's website today, and I saw all the photographs on the inventory and such. But now, let's bring the discussion back to this recommendation to the city council, and I guess it's more of a, it would be more of a formal recommendation that a process be established, you know, and I'm not going to do their job for them. I'm not going to say what that process is, but prior to demolishing an old structure, and I gave an example, 50 years or older, that the Planning Commission be notified for a 30-day period of review before permission being granted that individual to tear that building down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked about studying other areas. Now, this is just to start a study, and it would involve Pat Cleaver if she wants to get into the maps of the city and whatnot, to be possible to relocate historic buildings that are deemed must be moved, you know, for development reasons. And the city is interested in preserving that old building. However, they also want to provide permission for the new development to happen, but they also want to preserve the old building. You see where I'm going with this?
You're looking at incentives.
As some sort of incentive process or something, and I don't want to do the council's job here. I just want to start the discussion. Has everybody been down to that little neighborhood downtown, little thing in Fort Rock,
mm-hmm.
where they've taken all these little cabins mm-hmm. and churches and little school and whatnot, and they moved them into this one little deposit, into this one little area?
I've been there.
Where then it becomes this little museum and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's absolutely awesome that they have that, and we're talking about Fort Rock. This is Lapine.
Yeah.
Has about 10 or 50 times the population or whatever than Fort Rock. You'd think we could do something,
I agree.
To preserve our history in Lapine, and we haven't done a very good job of it up till now. What I want to do is start discussion on maybe doing a better job of it. The 1930 dance hall that Doris Yeager was just demolished over here on Morrison Street is now a black blacktop parking lot.
Yep.
You know, a little bit of downtown Lapine just went away.
Well, how about we bring Pat in, and she can give an overview. It'd be a wonderful educational opportunity, and she
can might even have some good ideas on.
And I think she'd be willing to do that because public participation is always part of the grant. And that way everybody gets a broad overview of what is allowed and what is not allowed and what opportunities are available and what she see what she's seen that works. And if I organize that for you, we could get that going. Probably, given her work schedule, I'm thinking December would be a good time.
Yeah, you really probably, Deborah, the letter, we don't need a letter to the City Council. The Planning Commission, if they want to work on having something dealing with older buildings, then you guys would work it through and then move it toward the Council. And we'd make them aware once you get it flushed out, because there's a lot of issues with that.
Yes. Huge property value, property rights.
Well, it was property rights issues. If you think about it, if you go back 50 years, that's 1960-something, 61 mm-hmm. right now, it'll be 62. Mm-hmm. You can't just go around telling people that have a 1957 house and they decide they want to build a new home that you can't tear it down. I mean, the law clearly was not going to allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. So if you tell them you have to wait 30 days for our review, what are you legally reviewing? Probably you can't review anything, and I don't know that you can stop them for 30 days. So there's a whole lot of issues with it that deal. And you have to, something like that building on Morrison that got tore down, I don't believe under any circumstances, under any law, that would forbid that from coming down. There was nothing.
We've lost so much already.
But you can't.
Well, it's, you know, forbidding. We don't want the city to do anything, you know, against the law. It's just within the law and working with the people. You know, if the city shows an interest in their history, then maybe the owner of the building will show an interest in history. It, you know, it doesn't hurt to go to people and ask them if they'd be willing to do something. Other cities have matching grant funds and different things. Baker City in 1990 has established that there were 110 historic buildings now, and $18 million later, the downtown Baker is well known for its history and very prideful of its town. And this is something that we need to look at, and I feel strongly about it enough that I'd be willing to bring Pat Cleaver in December meeting.
Yeah, I'll get that arranged.
And let's talk with some of her experience on this, in that she is probably one of the experts in this, possibly in the state, on this topic. And if you can, try to arrange that. Let's get Pat Cleaver in here. We'll table this language here that may not be politically correct, and we will bring it back.
And she'll help you with the facts and the regulations, and you know, we'll talk a little bit about taking.
She must have a lot of history on this subject.
She does. In fact, part of the original inventory went through the state's recognition.
Exactly.
Process.
She's probably gone through all of those processes and could simply and quickly tell us how we can get started on it.
I love Pat, but we're going to need to reserve the whole meeting for her.
Mm-hmm.
So please don't put anything else on.
You know,
meeting.
December is an excellent time for.
Okay.
Might even have some cookies and eggnog or something.
We'll get Doug to make the eggnog.
Doug, he makes the killer eggnog.
Okay, we'll get that handled
all right,
for you.
Cool. That sounds excellent. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Was a resolution made and then tabled?
No, a resolution was not made.
Discussion. Discussion. Okay.
Discussion was tabled until December, whereby we will gather more information. Okay. Now, boy, this is going to be a short meeting because we're all the way down to 10. Planning Commissioner reports. Mr. Ward?
Nothing to report, but a question. Are we going to make a recommendation on item 7? To forward to the city council.
Okay. I need to let you folks know that the city council appoints planning commission members, and so what we'll do is we'll just pass on this information to them. They will be the one probably bringing you back in and interviewing you again for a possible appointment.
But you'll make a recommendation as a planner.
You guys need to.
We could make a recommendation.
We actually won't probably bring them in for an interview. We need your recommendation, then we'll go from there.
Oh, okay.
Because you just interviewed them, so we need to know what you guys thought.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were giving so much horsepower.
Well, yeah, we are.
All right.
Do we need to make a recommendation?
You can.
You want me to start?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I'm just the chair.
You're the chief. I can't pronounce the last name. Justin.
V. Tannen.
I would recommend him for our as a commissioner.
City resident.
Yes, city resident. I would agree with that 100%. And I would also recommend Mr. McClung, Norman, for the out-of-the-city representative.
I second that. What happened to Jack Stillwell? Should I bring that up?
Well, he left a message, and just didn't return a call.
Okay.
A recommendation has been made, and let's just take an informal straw poll. All those in favor, signify with aye.
Aye.
So, let's make the recommendation and forward it to the city council. Patty, can you do that?
Yeah.
Short and sweet?
Include the application?
Yeah, we'll meet in November.
Include the applications and make the recommendation that the...
You wanted that just on the consent agenda then?
We'll talk about that later. Okay. No, don't put it on the consent agenda because they'll pull it if we do.
Any new news?
Thank you, folks, too, for coming. You guys are awesome. We went for months and months, barely a quorum, and it's exciting to get this planning commission back up to full strength. Thank you very much for coming here tonight. Appreciate it.
Could I ask one question?
Certainly.
What's the length of the term?
Your term would fall under the vacated term of the vice chair. You might not necessarily have to be vice chair right away, but that is the term you'd be fulfilling. And I believe
was this year, so
it was December, know. Wasn't it December?
2011. So you guys are going to have to draw straws or whatever.
So we will. We need to have a vote then. In because our year is December 31st, so we will have to have a vote then. Possibly in that December meeting. We could do that pretty quickly. Maybe if Pat will give us 5 minutes for an election. So.
Election of officers.
Election of officers.
Yeah, and the city council passed a rule last month. Last meeting that chairmanships have to rotate annually on all city commissions and boards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All city commissions and boards.
And that's a lot of groups do that so that more people get involved. Obviously, you know, the chair tends to get to run things and they get more involved and they talk more, and that it's important that everyone gets involved. So that by having it rotating is actually there's a lot of benefit to that. And so the council felt strongly about that. And like I say, it's fairly common. Sometimes it's a year, or some groups do 2-year terms. But anyway, so they passed that. So we will be rotating chairs in December.
Okay.
Can I ask something?
Mm-hmm.
Is anything new about 97? Our people, our yard sale
Stop.
People?
Oh, the yard sale people.
Yeah. Is that okay to ask that?
Well, I don't know if it's on the agenda at some point.
No, it's not.
No, you it doesn't have to be on the agenda, but I don't know if you are where you
will have
council comments. Is that is that council comment time?
Yeah, that's planning commission report time.
Okay. Until our codes are until we're using our enforcing our own codes. No, we haven't enforced any of those.
Oh.
That's still sometime in the next, 6 months or something. Whenever we take on all of that. But that property is, I've had another complaint about that.
It's looking worse.
And I met with them, and it's.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I just wondered if they knew.
Which property are we talking about?
Oh,
the flea market.
Oh, that place.
It's looking worse.
Oh, Jesus.
It just did.
Can someone clarify?
Wickiup Junction, the flea market out by Wickiup Junction.
Just north of Wickiup Sports
Bar. Car.
No, yeah. That's the wood guy.
It's the wood guy.
This is south of that.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
Flea market.
Looks like it's spilling out onto 97.
Well, high wind doesn't help.
The active garbage depot.
I think that what will have to happen is people will have to decide if they, that's obviously there's some issues out there of signage and mm-hmm. all kinds of things, but until we get our own ordinances operating, you're a little bit, the county rules aren't going to do much there, no.
But Rick, you've done a substantial amount of discussion with the fellow, and he's organized better, and he understands what's happening.
You don't have the land.
I know you've had several discussions.
They're going to live here.
Yeah, I mean, organized better. I mean, that's not really happening. I think that what I told them is that if you enclose things into white tents and get rid of the tables that you have sitting around, it's kind of like it could be a craft, something Sisters does craft shows every weekend. And when I drive through Sisters after they're closed, all you see is some white tents sitting there, and you have no idea what's in them. And the fact is, the same material that they're selling could be in those tents. And as long as you then open up the front and everything. So there is a way to do that and kind of upgrade it, if that's the intent. But because it's on tables that just sit out there in the winter and the rain and... it's a complicated issue. If you look at it, the property was approved for a commercial building with parking lot for a car lot. Actually, it was going to, or an RV or something like that.
It was a car lot.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. So it's a commercial use. Then it transitions into this, and so you have to really look through the codes and see where does it operate. You have a guard. There's a trailer with the security guard living on the property. No, that all has to be looked at.
Is that to keep the protesters out? Or?
Right. And, of course, the inside of the shop is in the building part, it's a head shop, and they sell things that go with various...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's kind of a colorful dresses and other incendiary items that go with smoking.
Has the council had any more discussion on hiring a part-time code enforcement officer?
We can't really have a code to enforce.
We don't have a code.
We have a code, but you don't have any staff, and it's not effective yet. Remember, the last part of the codes had an effective date.
When was the effective date? I thought it was July.
I thought it was too. That's why I was
not this July.
It's next July, isn't it?
July. We have over from the county. Because of all the planning and everything.
And we have a couple of really good candidates for that job.
Yes.
I'll do it.
I had a guy that's 6'6 and weighs 250 in mind.
You guys can laugh. Cleaning these things up from a legal standpoint is more complicated than meets the eye. And it all has to be very legal. And, I've talked to them, and they know that there's issues. But until we can go through a process, I think what you guys can do is take a strong stance. If those are the kind of things that John and your planning commission flat want cleaned up, I think you need to keep raising it, because the squeaky wheels get the grease.
Yeah, it isn't just John. We've heard from the public for a couple of years now that this is things that the residents of the city of Lapine want to happen.
You're right, and I'm in agreement with you, but I can tell you this, it did come before the council, we talked about it, and it was a bit what I would call in fact, one council member said that the only complaints he gets on, say, the wood guy, is people from down here, that far as the public and the tourists like it. And so, and you remember what you did with the sign ordinance? You think you got all this support. Well, then once you enacted it, and then as soon as you talk about some examples of that sign might need to come down or that sign needs to change, what happened? They all ruffled up, and pretty soon I got a full table here of chamber members and businessmen saying, "Ah, oh, wait a second." So, yet be careful in a vacuum, thinking that everybody wants that cleaned up and gone. So, there's a lot of work has to be done. Whitgift Junction has many issues. From a beautification code, you have the wood yard has three camp trailers on it, which can't technically be there. I mean, the list is pretty long out there. But it seems like when you then actually go to talk about a specific case and you're going to get do something, then people tend to, you better look left and right because you may be there alone. People back up because when you start inserting names, everybody out there has a friend. Gordy owns the woodyard. Everybody's got a friend. Mm-hmm. And political support. And so, you know, it's interesting.
And we said in the comp plan that we would do a heavy campaign of education before we got into heavy code enforcement. And with the new community, that's kind of expected that, you know, we're going to explain things carefully, we're going to give people an opportunity to understand the code, and that makes code enforcement a little easier when you have the community behind those standards. No, Rick's absolutely right.
In fact, funny you mentioned that area out there. I was telling Kitty last night, when I was at the Oregon, they played last weekend, whatever it was. Arizona State, heavens, yes. I mean, this is 9 o'clock at night. I'm drinking a beer in a tailgate party, and a guy comes up with some other people there, and they introduced, and they said, someone said, well, I was city manager in Lapine. And he says, I live in Sun River. And he says, but I doctor in Lapine, and I shop in Lapine. Actually, turn right, he called it, you know, the highway. I turn right a lot. And he said, I only have one. He seemed to be pretty educated on things. He knew about sewer and water and everything, and he reads the bulletin. But he said, I have one complaint. And he says, why are you allowing that junk? That wood, he said, from the wood guy down to the flea market, why are you allowing that? And he said, if you want me to keep spending money in Lapine, you better clean that stuff up. And if that means those things go vacant, you really are helping the community. You know, you're not shutting a business down. You're, in the long run, you're helping the community. And that was it. He was pretty adamant about it. So that was just out of the blue, sitting in the dark parking lot. So definitely, I think people, there's a lot of folks who agree with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even the wood guy? The wood guy is kind of...
I like the wood guy. Yeah, I do too. I like the wood guy.
Interesting. Well,
but the violations are about the same. He's spread out all over. If you go 10 feet behind him, go down the Drafter Road and drive behind him. I had to do it the other day, last week, and there is not much difference. That's where they get into the problem. It's eye of the beholder.
One of the big selling points for incorporation was that the city would clean up some of the mess and make Lapine look more attractive, attract more business, more tourists, make the residents happy that they didn't have to live next to a junkyard right next door to them. Now the city council has to live up to that. And how they do it is up to you. But it still has to be done. And those two places out there, and I mentioned 27 wrecked cars in the driveway. I have one of those on my street. Mm. And I also have a salvage yard business in my behind me that's not supposed to be there. Those things have to be addressed. We all know it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
But the point is there has to be a start time
right.
and start.
Yeah.
There has to be.
Yeah.
And no, I just,
you know, I just think still that, that some of that usage on that land is contrary to the county codes. And so,
actually, on that one, I actually sent the thing to the county. County responded to me officially with a letter back, and they say there isn't much other than some sign issues, maybe.
Well, I would hope to think that if Lapine City Council, along with the wishes of the public, were truly set in the priority and motivated enough that something could be done about it. And it hasn't, and so we will wait to see when that process will be established. All right. The only other report I have, like I said, I went to Baker last week. It was awesome. It was called Oregon Main Streets. And they we've studied 400 cities in America where the people have taken pride in their downtown regions. Now, in Lapine, you'd be talking about that purple section of the map. What it is we have it zoned as traditional commercial. This purple section right here is called traditional commercial. And in Lapine, what that would be the downtown Lapine as far as the definition would be. This would be the downtown Lapine. First Street through Fifth Street and then along the highway over to Morrison and all that. That would be your traditional downtown. In the future, I would hope that this traditional downtown Lapine would start being able to receive matching fund grants from the city of Lapine, establish a downtown property owners association that would qualify itself as a nonprofit organization to receive grants and low interest loans and funding, work hand in hand with the city council to improve facades and beautify our downtown. These are some of the dreams that I personally have, and I think a lot of the people in Lapine have, that we start to clean up our downtown. If it's not just one building, just start with one building. I'm going to make a recommendation along with my fellow commissioners that next year, in next year's budget in Lapine, that we start establishing a budget to where matching grant funds could be spent from the city of Lapine to help these property owners in the downtown area with their facades and their signage and beautification issues. These are things that if Lapine City wants to put their money where their mouth is, then these are types of things that can be established. Matching grant funds to beautify. These are some of the things Lapine can do, and we're going to start to, and we're going to make a recommendation next year and next year's budget that there be money set aside for matching grant funds. Lapine has got to move a little faster than what it has. We've 5 years. I'm sorry, people. I'm raising my voice a little bit. I'm a little emotional about this. We've been incorporated for 5 years, and it looks worse than it did now than it does in 2006. It really does. And there's a period where you become a city, so everybody thinks that, okay, we lost the county control, so now we can do whatever we want with. And if the city council doesn't start enforcing some of these things in Lapine, then it'll continue getting worse and worse and worse. Lapine has to put its money where its mouth is and helping its businesses, being working cooperatively with the business owners and the property owners in Lapine and this type of thing. It's time we start putting some budget items to do this. You know, and the people that are spending, they're being taxed now. I know it's low. It's one of the lowest in the state at $1.92, $1,000, or whatever it is. But
$1.80, it is the lowest.
It is the lowest in the state. Okay.
But they're collecting money through Mid-State, too.
And yes.
And it's the lowest because we made it that way.
And as low as it is, there's got to be
you know, $10,000 or $20,000 a year anyway to start helping some of our fellow property owners to beautify their properties, and matching grant funds is a perfect way to do it. It shows the city, look, we're 50% involved with it if you're 50% involved with it. And so a lot of times it's just simple matters like that can be established. It's just time we do some things and stop talking so much, and I'm doing that right now. So we'll go to item number 11, other matters, only those matters properly added. We have code enforcement. I mean, we might have already talked about that. And we also have Andy Ferguson from the Senior Center, discussion on signage. Ms. Ferguson, go ahead. Come on. Let's discuss the Senior Center. Well,
I was told that we needed to present you guys with what we want to do. Excellent. For signing, to make sure that we're in compliance with the
great
new codes.
You're the only one in town that comes and asks us.
Don't worry, there's 2 months left in the year.
Okay, so on the first picture is our existing sign, and right now we have one of the lighted ones where we have to go out and put up our sign of our activities and stuff that are going on. When we get our new sign, we will eliminate that one, but we would like to take our existing sign that was made and donated when we got our new center, and move that onto Victory Way, halfway between our two driveways. So then when Victory Way opens up, we will be able to have people seeing what the name of the building is before they get up to the intersection of Huntington and Victory Way. So if we can, I did give the dimensions on there. I kind of drew them in after taking a picture of it. And then our new sign that we're looking at, we have to try to get grants for, will be an electronic sign. It won't have the flashing like Gordy's got. I mean, it will be easy, simplified for the seniors to be able to read, for the people to read.
It's not going to scroll, it'll be fixed?
It will have an event that will come up and stay there for a little bit, and then another, you know, if we have more than one event going on. It will be kind of stationary. I think that we can set the time that we want it to stay in position before it changes.
Okay.
So that if we have more than one event coming up, then we can have more than that. And we will be able to do it by computer instead of having somebody out there in the snow and ice changing the lettering and stuff on it. And so that basically gives you the dimensions of that. It's a two-sided sign, so they'll be able to see it going north and south on Huntington. And we will make sure that we get the correct distance from the road before we have it installed, so that we meet whatever criteria you guys have set for us on that.
Is the remaining cabinet lit from the interior?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this sign disappears, is that correct?
No, that's the one that we want to move on to Victory Way.
Okay, then the one next to it, the
one
other
next
one, that
to
one
it,
disappears.
Yeah, that's the one that we were told that we needed to get rid of. And so we will get rid of that, but this one we want to just have on Victory Way in between the driveways.
Deborah, does that meet the code, having two signs on the property along Huntington?
Well, this one won't be along Huntington.
Okay.
This will be on Victory Way. Well,
okay.
And that's then we'll have the one on the corner of the property at Huntington.
Okay.
And Victory Way.
Yeah, we already
where this one is right now.
You just felt there's a need to have this other, the old wooden sign, put in front of the building?
Well, we figured that once Victory Way links in with the new neighborhood, we'll have people using that street. And if they don't know what that building is until they get up to the corner of Huntington after they've gone past our driveways, then they're either going to do a U-turn or back up to come down.
Was there any discussion on putting, not this sign, but the name of the building on the building. I mean, you know, somewhere really near
the building. We might be able to do that. I mean, we were just wanting to utilize this because it was something that was donated by somebody here in the community.
I wonder if it could be moved up. You know, a lot of buildings, how you, you know how you, there's a big building there, and up really close to the building is the name of the building. Not,
right. You know, not out on the street. 100 yards.
Because, so, well, let me just add, this is what we've heard from the public, is that there's just signs everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, and as you drive, I mean, you'd have to go 5 miles an hour to through Lapine to actually to be able to read all the signs. There's just so many signs.
Right.
You know, and that's, I don't know, if there was no discussion on, I just...
Well, you know, we could take that center, the sign part of it, out of the logs and figure out a way of hanging it up on the roof. I mean, not on the roof, but on the side of that one area of the drive-through, covered drive-through, you know, to where it's facing out to the freeway.
Yeah,
because
your idea of, you know, having it facing out, I mean, see, sometimes we found that if it's too close to the road, when you drive by, it's actually too close to the road to read, and it helps to actually have it set back.
Yeah.
There's a certain angle that these sign people, I mean, they got it down to science, and they told us that, you know, if it's too sharp an angle as you're driving by, and it's right here by the sidewalk, it's by the time you get there, boom, you know, it's gone. And so they say that it needs to be set back in order to get this more of an angle or something. I don't know.
What is the requirement for a sign like this?
Yeah.
How far off the road?
Well, you have to be on your own property.
Okay,
and so
how far
need
off
to be
the road is it supposed to be?
Typically within the front yard setback. So it varies.
Like
60
foot.
What I normally do in situations like this, you know that the county regulates signs right now.
Right.
And the reason this came up is because you had a need, and Don's, we asked Don to take the message back that if you were going to propose a new sign, let us look at it so that we could let you know how the new code would treat it so that you weren't investing in something that didn't meet the code.
Right.
So what I do here is I will go back, and I will look at the code, which is in the process of being modified. So I have to look at the proposed modifications.
Okay.
And I think those would be approved because they're very reasonable. And give you a written letter that says, based on the code today, the code says this, and you would or would not need it. And everything I see looks pretty good.
Yeah,
but
it looks like it's within the current code.
And when I get that written document to you, you'll know as if the code that Lapine has was enforced today, whether that meets it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that's better than, you know, me going through the code right now and all the changes that are in flux, which I left my list at home.
Okay.
So I don't want to guess or give you something until I can say on page X this and page X this.
Well, when you go over to the Little Deschutes, this sign will be placed where this sign is right now. The old sign is right now.
Same location.
Yeah, yeah. It will be. This one will be moved out. This one will be moved in. Would be put in. Yes, right where the other existing sign is right now.
Yeah.
And then the little one that's lit that we put the things in, that will be.
And you have a fairly recent development. Your property pins should still be out there. I notice you have a professional sign designer. I don't know if he's a local fellow.
He was a local fellow. I don't know if he still is. That was like 6 years ago.
Oh, it was.
But he made. Oh, this one right here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's through the Stewart.
Stewart. And they're not local, are they?
No, they're not.
Okay. So what they will be required to do, and don't forget this as a property owner, they must meet all the requirements for the setbacks as the county requires today. But our goal here is to let you know how the new code would treat this.
Okay.
So that you know if you have to shift it an inch, it's not a big deal, you still meet the city's code.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Andy,
so
is that a two-sided sign?
Yes.
Yeah.
So give me your address, or should I just send it to the address here?
It's P.O. Box
1279.
Attention. Andy I.
and then a copy will go to the council, the planning commission.
Okay.
And city manager, of course.
All right.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. Looks expensive.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I think.
But we're going to go for grants for it. That's why I wanted to make sure that it would meet before I even approach going for that. So that.
The one thing I can tell you is that we will ask for slow scrolling.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to have the vehicular public, people in cars. Whoa, what did that say?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
You
I
don't
want
like the Las Vegas
there, and then it goes away, and then a new one goes up, and I don't
That's
like
just the first
scrolling
thing
flash.
I noticed. Otherwise, I'm not seeing huge issues, but we'll write everything down for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks very nice, and thank you for coming to the planning commission.
Yeah.
I personally think that your idea, your plan here is very worthwhile. What you have now is not good.
Yeah, and well, as not, said, good. We could take the wooden sign and take that sign out and put it on the building.
I just kind of research that a little bit and look at your angle and all that and just keep in mind that it might look kind of classy that it fits up really close to the building because, that's a slow road right there anyway. They're not going to be speeding through there more than, you wouldn't think, 30 miles an hour. And so.
Yeah, well, if they did, they'd run through the stop sign.
they've already this
to the stop sign.
This has got their attention already, and so they're thinking that probably should be the building, right there anyway, and just the intent that we've heard from the public is that we need to do away with a lot of signs
along the roadway
in Lapine.
So if we were to move that wooden sign in, like into a flower bed or something that's in on the property,
I think it'd be
that
classy.
Would be okay.
That'd be classy.
Whatever the county code will require, when you do a relocation of a sign, they need to know.
And then it's the same county, yeah.
And I'll put that
in
a letter.
So you would be the one I would contact on that then?
No.
Oh, no.
You contact Deschutes County.
Deschutes County.
And but let me go through this, and I'll zip that out for you this weekend.
Okay.
And then you'll have everything.
Okay.
Everybody will know. And then you've got something you can take to the county.
Okay.
If you have to make any changes, then you'll have your sign person make those changes, if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully they'll allow you to put the other sign up maybe with the same permit. It all depends on.
Yeah.
Just sweet talk them a little bit, just tell them you're going to put that up near the building and all that. A lot of times you can get away with just one permit for something like that. Okay. Excellent. Now, did we already do the code enforcement?
No, I'm just going to hit discussion. This is on the one in Cagle, so I just made their pictures on the back.
Oh, Cagle. That's
and this
so
is the letter the county sent, so that you can see. The back will show you what. In the residential neighborhood, the garage. This is signed.
I'm trying to save you.
I'm trying to save you. The garage, the two-car garage, has been converted. You actually see he's got retail pegs and shop going on, or he's selling items. That's not a home occupation, and he has four employees. He expects customers to come there and shop, and then he plopped up his big 32 square foot sign out against his mailbox. And that is not a home occupation.
Right.
Not even close. And so the county, and I went and sat with him, met him, and told him that this was going to end. And the county then sent this letter. And you got to give him, he's got this on September 29th. So, he'll let a few weeks go by and probably get a follow-up letter that's maybe a little firmer and certified. And it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, It's unfortunate that I can sympathize with this person. The economy nowadays doesn't warrant spending the money on a big, huge shop.
But it's not fair to the neighborhood.
No, it isn't. He lives. This is one.
How far up the road? How far?
Doe.
How many houses up?
Well, three on the right.
So there's three homes prior to getting to this.
Yes.
Well, if you come from Burgess, there's the whole road.
From Cable.
Oh, from Cable.
Okay.
From Burgess, you go by almost the whole subdivision.
East Florida. See, well,
all the way to the back.
The customers are going to go up all the way up from Burgess all the way up.
Yep.
See, I don't know how to get from Cable.
He was in that big building next to the car wreck that is also for sale, but his rent got jacked up.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining. He just couldn't afford
to. But he told me, I happen to know this gentleman personally, he told me that he was negotiating for another place to relocate his business.
Mm. This is just kind of an interim thing he was thinking.
That's what he told me. How long that's going to be, I have no clue. But that's what he said.
Yeah, and he called me and told me he found a spot down at Burgess on one of the other roads right there on the corner, the welding shop.
Oh, that
guy. So, and he said that was already permitted. And so, you know, I said, well, that's better. Deborah and I talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's still not what you want. So then I decided to check out that property and went through, got all the reports on that, and in fact it did apply for a conditional use permit for a home occupation, mm-hmm. which was denied. Mm-hmm. There is no approved, that business is not ever approved. It was denied and he just stayed.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the guy back and said, well, you're not moving there. Because they said, you're not moving from one place you're illegal to another place you're illegal. And he said, well, they decided they weren't doing that anyway. So, I'm not sure where. There's a whole bunch of those down there, and I think that because this is new, you start with those.
Yes.
And then you start to, I think Kegel's an area that we probably, once we get the codes, you can pick out. You just do them one or two at a time, and you start going through these home occupations. And you have to pick the ones with the biggest trucks and the most cars, and, you know, before you pick on, you know, so someone runs an accounting business, you know, out of their house, you know, that's low on a priority list. And those ones would be approved.
Yeah, and those probably qualify.
Oh, certainly, they would qualify.
Sure.
But like this man, he said, you know, I'm going to lay off four people. I want you to know. And they get very emotional, and he says, if that's what the city wants, you guys, that you're telling me, so it rests at your feet and nobody else's, and you know that. You're laying off four people, and I want you to be proud of yourself. You know. So this is the stuff that goes on with all of this, and I just looked at him, and I said, sir, this is not legal. This is not fair to the neighbors, and it can't be done. And I don't want anyone laid off, and I want our people in our commercial district, and that's why we have a commercial district. And I left it at that.
There are buildings available that he could move into, if the price was right. There are vacant buildings there that would.
I told him I couldn't find a building.
There's one out there in the industrial park that's been empty for 2.5 years
now. Yeah, we'll spend it a lot.
They're begging to rent that building.
I talked to him about that building, and I said, you know, you could check with him, but he says that's too far off the beaten path.
Well, but his other one was too.
Well, how about the one he's in?
Yeah.
Well, talk about a beaten path. That's a gravel road.
Yeah. I agree.
So
you have to pay lease money when it's not in your home, see?
Huh? Yeah, true. Exactly.
All right, so. That's it. It sounds like that's getting taken care of, and the county is right on it. And
well,
you'll
sure.
probably be getting another letter, and then another letter, and then threats of fines and whatnot.
Why don't you go visit that guy that lives behind me?
You have to call us with an address.
Okay, well, I will.
Okay,
and then
you have to file a formal complaint. And you have to sign your own name to it.
I got two or three different
names. You have a shotgun if you don't. I got one.
I got two or three.
Is that the one with the big shop and there's wood and all kinds of junk around it and all?
He's that guy you see driving around town that says, I'll pick up your scrap metal for free.
But the property, just have a big building and a trailer next to it. There's a house and there's a trailer.
I don't want to use an expletive, a big mess. Well, he burned his garage at night.
Terrible.
The fire department won't do nothing about it.
I went to one house, one place back there. I haven't had a written complaint, but I stopped there and I talked to the guy. And there's a trailer connected to like a shop, but he says there's no running water to this trailer, and yet people told me there's people living in.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I went
a different
there,
place than
talked
what
to
I'm
him.
Talking about.
He said they take their showers in the house, and that. You don't go to the bathroom in there. There's a bathroom in the shop.
I'm talking on Pine Place.
Oh, that's Pine, a next street over.
Pine Place.
No, next Pine, street over. I've been to Pine Place.
Yeah.
Don't let this scare you off. We have lots of interesting things.
That's got one on this too.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you all. If there's, I would like to open up for any more public comments that are just a public comment that may result in a solution. And if any other addresses, just give to city manager. He'll.
What I'm doing is I did a file on code things, and I just start when I tend to drop down a picture. Mm-hmm. I get an address, and so we can kind of keep track.
Establish
a, when I send them a letter or if I phone call them, and I try to. So you start kind of building. Most of the code calls are Cagle and Huntington Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I get none anywhere else.
Hmm.
That's basically.
We are establishing a historical file on these
yes.
code enforcement complaints.
Yes, right.
Good. Excellent. All right, folks, I would entertain a motion to adjourn if there's nothing further.
I would so move.
So move. Seconded.
Next month, we meet at the new City Hall.
Yeah. Next month, new City Hall, 5:30. Sorry, next meeting. 5:30 on November. Let's get the calendar.
I don't know. Is it the 18th?
It's right behind.
18th?
I don't know.
16th.
November 3rd, 18th. Wednesday?
Next month.
November.
So here's
16th. November 16th, 5:30 p.m. at the new City Hall.
Do we have this at the new City Hall?
What's that?
Do we have a new sound system?
Oh no, you're gonna. Yeah, you'll. It's actually it's you'll enjoy it. I mean, it's gonna.